Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you all. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 21. We'll remind ourselves of the parable that we started to study on Tuesday past. It is nice to be back with you and to have nearly all the school in attendance with us today. Some of the older ones I take are off on study leave, but we nearly have everyone in today. Matthew chapter 21, we'll read from verse 28, for here we have the parable that we're looking at. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain or two did the will of his father, they say unto him, that is, those he was speaking with, leaders of the Jews, the elders, priests, they say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe him. Amen, and God will bless this reading from his precious word to all of our hearts. Now, as we said on Tuesday, we started our study of this parable. Some of you weren't here, so very, very quickly, I'll just touch upon what it was we studied on Tuesday, just to bring you up to date. We looked at the very first words of the parable, where the Lord Jesus said, And what think ye? Now the younger ones here, they could nearly come up and tell you what it was I said, I'm sure. But I'll tell you. That is, I'll tell the pupils who were off on a trip on Tuesday. The Saviour says, But what think ye? That's how he begins his parable. But what think ye? And we noted very quickly that the Saviour wants us to think. He wants us to think. There's an awful lot of people, you know, in this world who have brains and they don't really use them. It's a bit like the computers. Most of you have a computer of some form or other, even if it's only a mobile phone. But very, very few of us, if any of us, use that computer to its full extent. We, as it were, drive around in first gear and never get out of that. There's so many things that the computer can do, but we don't know how to make it do those things, so we don't try. That's a fact. And it's the same with our brains. We don't really use them as they were intended to be used. And the Lord would provoke us, prompt us, to use our minds, to think. And he especially wants us to think about eternal things. That's what this parable is all about. The Lord wants these men to think about eternity, to think about heavenly things. You'll see that toward the end of this very short little parable, he mentions the kingdom of heaven. And that's what he's trying to get them to ponder, trying to get them to think about. There's nothing more difficult in this world than to get people to think about eternity. They'll think about many things, but they do not want to think about God. Those who are engaged in outreach work oftentimes encounter someone on the door. And this is customary. There's a few words of greeting, maybe even a mention of the weather. And everybody's ready to talk about the weather. But then when you say, I'm here to share with you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a change. Usually the person who has come to the door just clams up. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want to think about that. The weather? Yes. What's happening in the country? Yes. Sport? Yes. But not God. They don't want to think about God and eternity. And those engaged in such work know how difficult it is to get people engaged in a conversation about spiritual matters. And the Lord is trying to prompt these men to think about eternal things. He does it, you will notice, by telling them this parable. Not, as it were, boys and girls, just launching in. God, heaven, hell, eternity. No. He tells this story. And you will remember that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So, we go a little further today as we look at this. Verse 28 then, what think ye? He's asking for their opinion. A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. Two sons. The man here represents God. Maybe most particularly he represents the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And here we find that this man had two sons. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has two sons. Is that all? Well, he has two types of children. Just as these two sons were very different, and we'll look at that later. So, amongst the children of God, there are only two types. One who obey, and the other type, they don't. All men and all women and all boys and all girls are sons of God by creation. He is your creator. He has brought you into existence. But among all of those God has created, there's a big division. A big division. Some obey him. Most do not obey him. Do not obey him. Which group are you among today? Are you among those who obey, or are you among those who disobey? Which is it? There are the saved, and there are the lost. Are you among the saved, or are you among the lost? Two sons. One obeyed, one didn't. Which one of them represents you? The Bible makes it very clear that while there are many different races of men, we live in Ireland. There are characteristics attached to us that distinguish us from all other races. I mean, we're better looking than everyone else in the world, aren't we? We're smarter than everyone else in the world. And we can sing much better than everyone else in the world. I see some of you are looking at me with very puzzled faces. for you're just wondering what it is I'm getting at. Well, of course, I'm exaggerating. Indeed, I'm making it all up. But there are certain characteristics to those who live in Ireland that distinguish them from the rest of the world, as is the case with all nations. It's a most peculiar thing. But while there are many, many races, many, many nations of man, many different skin colours, there are really only two types in this world, the saved and the lost. If you go to the very beginning of the Bible, you will read of Adam having two sons, Cain and Abel. And they were very, very different. You know, today, Abel is in heaven. And if you're going to heaven one day, you will see him there. But you'll not see Cain there. And boys and girls, I hope you will never see Cain, because Cain is in hell. He didn't believe the gospel. He didn't submit to God's teaching. He decided that when it comes to the matter of religion, he would go his way and not submit to what it was God taught. Two different sons, just like the parable. You remember Jacob? He had a brother called Esau. Very different men. I think that it's the same with them as it was with Cain and Abel. Jacob undoubtedly is in heaven. I'm not so sure about Esau. I'm not so sure about Esau at all. The Lord Jesus said this, boys and girls. Listen to his words. He that is not with me is against me. If you're not for the Savior, then you're against him. If you're not in obedience to the Savior, then you're in rebellion against him. There's only the two cases, only the two attitudes, only the two ways. That's the first thing I want you to notice then this morning. Two sons representing two different types of people in this world. I think I have time just to say something else, though we'll probably have to come back to that. I want you to notice that it was the father who approached the sons. It wasn't the sons who came and said, "Father, what would you like us to do?" But it was the father who said to them, "Go work in my vineyard." The sons didn't see any need for them to go and serve their father. They didn't volunteer. They had to be told. And that presents to us a most solemn gospel truth. And the gospel truth is that it is God who seeks out us. It's God who seeks out us, not we who seek out God. The first action that we find recorded in the Bible that sinful man engaged in is found in the book of Genesis, and it has to do, of course, with Adam. Genesis chapter 3, the verses 8 and 9 read, "And they," that's Adam and Eve, "and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him," where art thou? Who's doing the seeking? God. Who's doing the hiding? The first two sinners. And it's been like that ever since. It's been like that ever since. There wouldn't be one in heaven if God did not set out to seek sinners. The Lord Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save. I am come to seek and to save. I remember being in a meeting many years ago. It wasn't a Free Presbyterian meeting. Not say what sort of a meeting it was. Curiosity brought me to it. But I remember being there, and this character who represented himself as a great preacher, he came from Belfast somewhere, but he spoke as if he came from Texas, one of these imitation evangelists. And I remember he started off saying that man had sought God for years and years and called on God for years and years, and he referred to various incidents in the Old Testament, he said, and then finally, after many hundreds and thousands of years, Jesus Christ came into the world to seek sinners. That was a lie. And I had the greatest pleasure as I was going out through the door, as he grinned at me and said, how are you? And I said, I'm not really too well. I never like to listen to the devil's lie. We sort of wiped the grin off his face, and he suddenly lost his accent and began to talk like someone from Belfast. Stupid idiot. Trying to make money out of the gospel, that's all he was trying to do. Telling a lie that man had sought God and God had been deaf to him. If ever there was a lie from the devil, that was it. It's the very reverse, very opposite. Man has been deaf to the call to God. It's the Father we read here who came to the sons and spoke to them. He had to find them. I don't know where they were. I don't know where they were. They weren't at his elbow saying, is there anything you'd like me to do today for you? No. Who knows where they were? Off gallivanting, off playing around, off engaging in leisure and pleasure, not in the least interested in their Father's will. That's how it is with men and women. That's how it is with boys and girls. You're not interested in what God wants you to do. You're only interested in doing what you want to do. That's the first lesson in the gospel, boys and girls. As John the Apostle put it, we love him because he first loved us. John 3:16, God so loved the world. The world in darkness. The world that was in rebellion. God's love rested on it. But there was no love coming from the world toward God. And there never can be until God works a change in the heart of sinners. And if you're not saved today, that's the change you must have. Well, we leave it there. We come back to this aspect of the parable the next time we're with you. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, be pleased to bless thy word, every child here today, and indeed all of us. For Lord, there's not one of us but needs to be reminded that we didn't choose God, but he in mercy chose us. If we're saved today, it's not because of any action on our part, but it's because the Lord sought us out and saved us. Write your word on every heart. Be pleased, O God, to bless the school today and provide for its every need. Be with each pupil, each member of staff, aye, and the homes from which they come. Hear our prayer now for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.